First You Think is a not-for-profit ministry of the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. Support us at ucdsm.org today.
You know, it's always terrifying for a minister, I think, doing any kind of sermon on addiction, because you get one of two responses. Either, what the heck do you know about it? Or, why do you know that? So let's start this the easy way so we can answer that question. Hi, my name is Amy, and I'm a drug addict. It has been 32 years. And you know you are an addict when you've been up for 2 days and your biker husband comes home and he says, baby, I think you're doing too many drugs. You have probably overindulged. And it was enough to wake me up that this rough but good man was worried. It was a kick in my seat of my pants. I went and got help. It was all I needed. That one voice saying, you can do this, Cinderella. Wasn't enough to fix it, but it was enough to start the process. Because addictions hurt. They hurt the addict. They hurt the community. They hurt the families involved. There's no safe position that you can view an addict from that doesn't pull you in. Nobody really knows how to define addiction. I gave a definition to the kids this morning. Our switch is broke. That's probably as good as any. The American Society of Addiction Medicine gives a short definition. It's 3 paragraphs long. That's the short definition. It says you can't stop. That's what it boils down to. It's a lot of words to say we can't stay away from something. But the definition doesn't give us any idea of how to decide whether it's pathological or just a strong interest. Almost anything consumable can be a substance of choice. Drugs, alcohol, food, pornography, gambling, video games, sports. If you can do it, you can probably get addicted to it. 1 in 10 Americans has a drug or alcohol problem. And by problem, I mean it impacts their ability to do other things they want to do. Things they need to do. Alcoholics make up 15.4 million substance abusers in the U.S. 4 million more use marijuana. Nobody's sure how many of those are recreational users who are using responsibly and how many have a psychological dependence. Other drugs make up 7 million, prescription drugs, 2.4 million more. The point is, this is a lot of us. If you look around this room statistically, you're sitting next to some of us. Rich and poor, every race, every religion. Americans seem to have the disease of addiction the worst. Bruce Alexander wrote an amazing treatise on addiction in American Nation. He said that globality is in addiction to drug use and other habits. It's because people in the world, rich and poor alike, are being torn from the close ties to family, culture, traditional spirituality, all the things that constitute the normal fabric of life in pre-modern times. So this kind of global society subjects people to unrelenting pressure toward individualism, competition, dislocates them from social life. People adapt to the dislocation by concocting the best substitutes they can for a sustaining social and cultural and spiritual wholeness. And addiction is that substitute for more of us. History shows us that addiction can be rare in a society for a lot of centuries, but can become nearly universal when circumstances change. When a tribal gets crushed, when an advanced civilization collapses. Now, this is a historical perspective. It doesn't deny vulnerabilities built into our genes, our experience, our personal character, but it removes those individual differences from the foreground of attention because societal determinants are so much more powerful. Addiction is much more a social problem than an individual disorder. And don't get me wrong, this is a disorder, this is a disease. But it's a disease where society leans on it. Medically and psychologically, addiction is a disease. Sociologically, it's about alienation. So where the heck does religion come in? Religion's a part of how you survive. Religion can help to remove the alienation, the crippling isolation that leaves you vulnerable to your own addictive genes, predispositions, whatever you want to call it. And 12-step spirituality may let you into a cage you didn't even realize locked behind you. Our first reading today was 12 steps, and I want to look at them from a UU perspective. Because getting sober, getting clean, getting free from addiction is a religious process. Even if it's a process without a higher being, it calls you to transformation. Number one, we admit it, we were powerless over alcohol, our lives have become unmanageable. You can replace alcohol here with anything. The first step is about seeing there's a problem and reclaiming your honesty. It's about realizing that while you might be dangling over your own personal hell, there is a break you can grab before you go any further. That break exists. It may be this big, but that grease slope we're on, there's a little tiny break, and this is the first step to engaging it. If nothing else, you can take complete and utter control of saying, I can't take control of a darn thing. The first step recognizes you are part of an entire web, and some other part of the web, the alcohol part or the drug part or the gambling part, has taken you over and your place in the web has become twisted and untenable. The web may be currently wrapped around your neck, but you are still connected and you can unwind. That's one. Two, came to believe and accept that we needed strength beyond our awareness and resources to restore us to sanity. What does that mean? It means we realized we needed community. We can't do this alone. We need something bigger and stronger and collectively wiser to hold us when it's too much. God or goddess, divine being, communal spirit, we need to be held by something bigger. Three, made a decision to entrust our will and lives to the care and collective wisdom and resources of those who have been there before us. Awesome. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You're not alone. Other people did this before. Here's some prophetic words. Figure them out. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. This is where you use the theology you have come to understand, and you decide where you've screwed up. You decide, nobody but you gets to decide what you've done, ethically right, ethically wrong. Only you get to judge you. Five, admitted to ourselves without reservation and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. We're back to honesty about being fully present with yourself, being in covenant, and knowing that you can show up in all your brokenness with at least one other person. For some of us, that's a revelation that you can tell somebody all of the bad and still have them say, I am here. 6, we're ready to accept help in letting go of all of our defects of character. You're ready to return to community, to be a part of something, to get help, let go of alienation. Let go of being afraid that because of who you are, you're not welcome. You're welcome. 7, with humility and openness, sought to eliminate shortcomings. It's the action piece for number 6. Once you've let go of the identity piece, it's time to eliminate the traits that made those identities possible. It's time to be born again, if you will, as the person you want to be. 8, made a list of all the persons we harmed and became willing to make amends. You got to have honesty. You got to have agency. It's about recognizing that it takes human hands to undo human error. This is social justice on a personal scale. When you've hurt people because of your addictions, you have to be willing to understand that you need to fix it. 9, made direct amends to the people you hurt whenever possible, unless it would hurt them. You got to go fix it. I think about this one whenever I hear, our thoughts and prayers are with you. That's great. Now go put your hands. Go fix the thing as well as you can. 10, continue to take personal inventory. And when you're wrong, admit it. That's pretty self-explanatory. 11th, sought through mediation to improve our spiritual awareness, our understanding the AA way of life, to discover the power to carry out that way of life. This is the one that says everything you do, you have to be centered. This is James Luther Adams' examined life. And 12, having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. 12th step calls us to live our faith, a call to covenant and community to teach and support others. As soon as you're not drowning, it's your duty to put on a life jacket and help to save other people. If addiction is part of your life, church can help you to find comfort and community. The 12-step programs work seamlessly with UU values and principles. And if addiction's not part of your life, 12-step spirituality can be used to approach other problems. It's a way of living, like Buddhism, a set of approaches that can be used with multiple spiritual beliefs. So whatever is holding you prisoner, whatever hurts, whatever's holding you back, you can fight it. 12 little steps. 12 giant steps, the distance across a kitchen, the distance between hell and hope. It works if you let it, just one day at a time. Amen.